I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is from Pro Football Focus, our weekly guest, 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. Brad Spielberger, our favorite Vandy alum. Did you know that a Vanderbilt sports team, Brad, beat two top 10 teams this past week? Can you name that team?
A Vanderbilt program. Was it the women's basketball team?
Nope. Women's bowling. How about that? There you go.
Oh, yeah. We're multiple-time national champion in women's bowling. That is a dynasty you're talking about right there.
Dynasty. I'm serious. I looked that up. I was looking for Vandy tidbits. The women's bowling team is on a roll, if you will. They're playing really well. They are. To more important things other than Vandy women's, and it's very important to you, I get it, but to more important things like the NFL here in Pittsburgh. Let's just take the lay of the land from somebody not in this land. Do the Steelers stand a chance on Sunday evening?
No, they don't, but I think it's awesome that they're playing in this game. You know, I don't think it's going to look like the last Steelers-Chiefs matchup. I think it'll be a more competitive game. I think this entire building is fired up almost because I think you're going to come in and play with, like, you have nothing to lose because you kind of didn't even expect to be there in the first place. And so it's free football, right? And I think that mentality, it can go a long way. Like, there's no pressure on this team because, you know, like I said, like, they didn't even really expect to be there.
Forgive me if I asked you this in an earlier week, Brad, but who's your defensive player of the year?
You know, it's T.J. Watt. I think whenever you break that record, you know, it's got to be T.J. Watt. He also just, you know, outside of the record, I think when you watch some Steelers games this year, you know, he literally took over games to where it's not just sacks, where there were literally series where, you know, like every single snap on a drive, he was impacting the offensive play. He was moving the quarterback. He's just a terror. And I think, you know, again, outside of the record, I already think he'd be a candidate. When you add that in, I think it's just kind of an easy decision.
Okay, so from one extreme to the other, let's get to Devin Bush, which we've talked about a number of times this year. And what was his overall grade in the last game? And the reason there were two plays back-to-back where, you know, Murray had long runs, and it looked like Bush, A, read the play wrong from the beginning, and then, B, just provided very little resistance.
Yeah, I'm pulling up for us right now. I guess I should just have our weekly Devin Bush tracker.
Exactly.
So let's see here. Yeah, it is not good. So his overall grade was a 51, and his coverage grade in particular was a 41. So, yeah, definitely not great. Not terrible. But, I think his diagnosing is interesting. He does seem to be going the wrong direction sometimes, which you think he would have figured out at this point, especially in that defense with the coaching we think they have and everything like that. But, I think the Kansas City Chiefs know how to pick on a linebacker that struggles in coverage, so I'm sure we'll be calling his name again this weekend.
There's no way you pick up his fifth-year option then, though, right? Like, are we past that discussion at all, Brad?
I think so. Yeah, I do. You know, I think, like, if you look at their decisions, yes, they had multiple decisions this past offseason, but, you know, if you're not exercising Terrell Edmunds' fifth-year option, which is worth not much money at safety, I don't see why you would consider picking up Devin Bush's. I mean, the only thing that, you know, might make them do it is just if they say, well, we traded up to top 10 and took him to the 10th overall pick, but that obviously should not drive your decision-making.
What are in your opinion, Brad, what's the plan at corner? I know we're talking a lot of offseason stuff and there's a game left, but Joe Hayden's contract is up. He's going to be 33. We talked about, you know, maybe you make him an offer of a one-year deal to see if you can keep him around for one more year. But they've also been somewhat impressed with Akello Witherspoon since he's gotten more of an opportunity to play over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And they've got Cam Sutton under contract, too.
Yeah, so Sutton's a really good player. I thought he stood out in that game and was a big reason why they won. And Witherspoon's interesting. You know, he came over from Seattle, and they really weren't playing him for a while there, even though they traded, what, I want to say a future fifth-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, decent draft capital to bring him aboard. But, yeah, he has started to play much better. They do seem to trust him now. Nevertheless, I still think it's probably one of the areas they need to invest the most resources in. It is a weak spot. And they tried to rely on guys like those guys and James Pierre, and those are just depth players. I'm just not certain they are starting caliber players. So, you know, I think you look to free agency. There are a handful of quality zone cornerbacks coming out, you know, guys that have thrived in a heavy zone system. I do think a one-year deal for Joe Haden, if he wants to stay, which it sounds like he does, would be smart. You know, when he came back from his injury, he played well. He made some big plays. But, you know, you can look at a guy like DJ Reed in Seattle, you know, who plays that cover three system over there. There are a handful of guys. Carlton Davis in Tampa Bay might get franchise tag, might be out of their price range, but has thrived in that kind of heavy zone system that Todd Bowles runs. Is a big physical number one corner, and to kind of kick everyone else down the depth chart if you bring him in. There are guys they need to look into. They obviously don't spend much in free agency, so they'll probably just draft a couple guys, but I think they do need to draft multiple cornerbacks in this class.
Brad, you said earlier you expect it to be more competitive this time against Kansas City than it was three games ago. It couldn't really be less competitive, I guess, in the first half than it was. But the thing that sticks out to me is, okay, the Steelers won their last two games. They were playing Baker Mayfield. They were playing Tyler Huntley. They had opportunities to make plays and didn't. It just I'm just looking at Mahomes and thinking that he's just going to do what he did last time.
Yeah, you know, and I think he will. You know, I think he handles pressure so well, and that was something that was a little bit different early in the season when everyone was highlighting his struggles. That one thing, among all the superhuman strengths he has, but the one is just his ability to navigate pressure and not allow pressures to turn into sacks. And I think, you know, Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt kind of were creating pressure at times, but it didn't really matter. And so, you know, that's kind of the only prayer you have is that they're getting through this offensive line and getting Mahomes safe. But this is a really good offensive line. I mean, they spent all their resources on this for this reason. I mean, I think they probably think they're geniuses now, you know, trading for Orlando Brown Jr., signing Joe Tooney to a massive deal. And their first-round matchup in the playoffs is against, you know, Cameron Hayward and T.J. Watt.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan. Text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Now, we've seen it in this town in the past with Deuce Staley and with D'Angelo Williams and gentlemen like that. Do teams err if they don't go into a season with a quality second running back, even if a guy doesn't get hurt, your first running back, just to have that 1-2 punch? Is that needed? Because we're not seeing the Steelers have that right now.
Yeah, so Steelers are one of the last teams in the NFL. There are a couple others. Carolina does it as well. But teams that really still have your true number one workhorse back that gets, you know, 80-90% of your snaps. And so I do think it is a bit disconcerting not to have a solid backup running back. But the thing with them is I think they would want to find a guy that doesn't play, but when he does play, is then able to shoulder a full workload and you know, be a three-down back as a backup. And it's kind of, you know, guys like Mike Davis come to mind in Atlanta, and he was that in Carolina. It's kind of why he signed his solid contract in Atlanta.
Matt Breida? What about like Matt Breida or somebody like that?
Matt Breida? Yeah. I mean, Matt Breida's had a decent little bounce back in Buffalo. They've been kind of bizarre with their running backs this year, but he was playing pretty well when they were giving him touches. I think there are options out there. You know, both guys in Arizona, obviously James Conner has familiarity, but I like Chase Edmonds as a player as well. You know, I think Sonny Michel actually would make a ton of sense. Again, I know the Steelers don't spend a ton, but Sonny Michel is a downhill runner, a north and south guy who puts his head down and gets 4 or 5 yards of carry. He's not really going to, you know, shake and bake, but I think as a number two guy, the way he's been using it with the Los Angeles Rams, I think would fit very well in Pittsburgh.
Brad Spielberger, Pro Football Focus, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You mentioned a couple times already, Brad, you know, they don't spend a lot in free agency, but they should have a fair amount of cap space going into this year, especially with Ben's number coming off the books and the cap rising a good bit. It would seem to me, the more I think about it, you know, they drafted a couple of offensive linemen over the last few years, but wouldn't it make sense that with an offensive line that's young and inexperienced, maybe you go out, you spend some of that money that you wouldn't normally spend in free agency on a veteran offensive lineman to give this unit a little bit of stability going into next year?
Yeah, I think it would make a ton of sense. You know, I think even though he was coming off a down season, I like the addition of Trey Turner, just as you said. I mean, this is a young offensive line. And when you lose, you know, three players in DeCastro, Villanueva, and Pouncey, who had been there for, you know, a decade. You do. I mean, offensive line continuity gets talked about a ton, and I do think it matters. And I think just having a guy who has seen a lot of things and maybe even can just point out to Kendra Green, you know, who's the Mike, or just these various things that, you know, are just tough to know when you transition to the NFL level and people are disguising things and making things difficult for you. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely think they should be in the mix in free agency a little bit. You know, they do have a lot of money, like you said, the next 2 years, they're near the top in cap space, so that is not a limitation on them. And yes, I mean, that's the actual better way. If you want to improve this run game, it's fixing the guys up front.
Now, hopefully there aren't too many layers to this one, but let's assume the Steelers do not draft a quarterback in the early rounds. And so who's the most affordable, best, you know, signable veteran out there that's not going to break the bank but would make sense to bring in as another guy to kind of compete with Mason Rudolph to hold things over?
Yeah, so if you just wanted to go the signing route, I mean, I know this name carries kind of some chuckles with it, but, you know, I always thought Jameis Winston kind of reminded me of Ben Roethlisberger, frankly. I mean, I know that might sound like sacrilegious. I'm not saying he was as good as him, but a really big guy that still kind of is a little bit oily and hard to bring down, always keeps his eye downfield and is looking for the big play on every snap. But also, this past year in New Orleans, after kind of a year and a half with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, you saw him. He was playing a different style of football than he's ever played before. He was taking what the defense gave him. He was more patient. He didn't have any silly turnover. I mean, I guess one silly turnover, but only one silly turnover at Jameis Winston on the season is a good thing. I think, seriously, out of all the free agent options, and yes, he did tear his ACL, but out of all the free agent options for a decent, you know, cheap deal, I think he stands out unless, you know, we've already talked about Mitchell Trubisky on this show, but, I mean, that's kind of that's the next name. Otherwise, you're talking about older guys that are in their, you know, mid to late 30s, or you're talking about, like, a guy like Teddy Bridgewater is going to cost still, you know, $15 million per year, and I don't think that's what we're talking about.
Brad Spielberger, a soft spot for Mitchell Trubisky, noted Bears fan, and we get to this. The Bears have an opening. I'm sure you're excited about that. A few openings, yeah. Actually. Is Harbaugh going to be the next coach of the Bears?
You know, I will say this. It's been a roller coaster where I've been told by people I trust it's gone from, like, he's definitely, you know, a top candidate. They're going to be very interested. And then it swung to this is all just leverage for Michigan getting an extension. He's not even actually considering it. And then it swung to he wants to go to the Raiders instead of the Bears. I will tell you this. So as far as I know right now, I do think he is going to get an interview at the least if he does. If he doesn't sign an extension, I think the Bears will make a run at him. I think it's legitimate. I would just say there was one general manager candidate. They've only officially announced a couple interviews so far, and one of them, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who is with the Cleveland Browns, was with Harbaugh with the San Francisco 49ers. And I know you can always make those webs of connections, but I thought that was potentially notable.
Brad, how far back did the Dolphins possibly set themselves by firing Brian Flores yesterday? Does that make any sense to you whatsoever?
It really does not. And the stories come out. And look, yeah, you know, he was hard on his assistant coaches. He had four offensive coordinators and four offensive line coaches in three seasons. Like, I get that. And there were some things that trickled out. But nothing to the magnitude of things that we've seen all across the NFL. And yes, this guy is an elite defensive coach. Every single defensive player on the team was tweeting out how they were, like, distraught and were shocked. And so clearly, you know, players like him, or at least players on his side of the ball like him. So I think that was a really questionable decision. I'm not really sure what owner Stephen Ross, what his plan is, what he's thinking. You know, it sounds like he basically works out of New York. He's not even in Miami on a day-to-day basis. And whatever Chris Greer, their general manager, says, it kind of just goes, right? And so, obviously, there was a rift between him and Flores. But personally, if I had to make a decision between those two people, I probably would take Flores. I think someone will probably hire Flores as a head coach this season, potentially.
Fire Houston needs to fire their guy and just hire Flores. That's the play.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously there's the New England Patriots connection with Nick Caserio. I will see. That's interesting. I mean, he Coley came out yesterday and said as far as he's aware, he still has the job. You know, I do think, though, if they do make that move, I'm sure Flores will be high on the list.
Absolutely. All right, Brad, we appreciate it. As always, we will check in next week and have a wonderful, because it is a wonderful weekend of football, have a wonderful weekend of football.
Enjoy the game.
Absolutely.
Yep, you too.
We'll see you. Jim, how you doing? Everything well?
Yeah, everything's all right.
Was that big pile of salt still there when you entered the Fort Pitt Tunnel? Like, on lane?
I didn't go that way. Oh. I saw that there was a hazard on the Waze app, so I went around.
Look at this guy. This guy is
proactivity. No one loves the Waze app more than this man.
I know.
I'm serious.
Although, is something.
No, it was fine. I kind of like going to the West End Bridge every now and again.
Okay.
Just to mix it up, just change scenery, you know?
Variety, spice of life, yeah. Right?
See that? Yeah. Okay. I got you. I should have gone that way today. It would have cut my commute by about 12, 15 minutes.
What app do you open more, Jim, the weather app or the Waze app?
Well, I just clicked a little weather thingy.
Oh, the thingy.
Oh, the
that
one shows me what the temperature
indigenous
is
to
the
your
high
phone,
and the low.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of, yes. Right.
Yeah, that's the one. I just use that.
But the Waze, you downloaded that and everything.
Yeah.
I just know you love nothing more than weather and traffic.
Have we got an answer to what Jacko's story is?
No, because Ron was in Baltimore still yesterday morning, so I didn't get to ask him.
Talk to the catfish.
Okay.
Oh,
tell me what happened.
No, apparently there might be some issues with either Jacko's health or someone in his family, which is tough to hear.
I'm
okay,
sorry
well,
to hear
that's
that.
From the catfish, though. We need to confirm from
I'll ask Ron.
Yeah, we'll see Ron today.
From a more solid source.
Again, plus it's an opportunity to maybe thaw the ice a little bit more between Ron Cook and the morning show on the station he works for but doesn't listen to.
Good luck thawing the ice today.
Yeah, there we are. No, it's pretty cold outside. All right, one teammate did something for another that was really incredible. We get into that before we talk to Dan and Hughes, Chiefs Radio. He joins at 8:30. That's coming up in just a couple minutes, right here, Fan Morning Show. All right, Dan and Hughes, Chiefs Radio, 5 minutes from right now. First, though, so how about this? Week 18, you know, you're getting to the end of the season. There are different incentives and things to play for, and you're getting close to contract stuff. Well, it happened with the Tampa Bay Bucks. So Gronkowski went into the game with the possibility of earning up to $1 million in incentive bonuses. And, you know, he needed 7 catches and 85 receiving yards in order to hit his 2 incentives, $500,000 apiece. He got the receiving yards. He caught that 42-yard pass from Brady. He was well on his way in the third quarter. But he only had 6 catches with 7 minutes to go. And he still had that 1 incentive. So the Bucs were up 14. The game's in hand. Case to be made to rest starters.
Mm-hmm.
Brady could be seen on the sideline and heard, it's being reported now, telling coaches, I'm not coming out of the game until Gronkowski cashes both of those. So, Gronkowski makes a catch. Here comes Blaine Gabbert into the game to relieve Brady. Gronk finished with 137 yards receiving. With those 7 catches, he gets his mil.
Good
what
teammate.
A teammate.
I mean,
huh?
I don't think any more than any other teammate. I think most teammates want to see their guys hit their incentives and their bonuses. But, I mean, to stay in there, I mean, like it or not, Tom Brady's putting himself at risk of injury there by staying in and trying to help Gronk hit those incentives.
You know, I wonder if, let's just say for the sake of argument, they were ahead by like 3 touchdowns or whatever, and they had benched a lot of people that are key players. I wonder if they would have paid up anyway. You know what I mean? And or is Gronk at the point where, hey, man, you've been in the league forever. You've made a ton of money. If that's more from a young guy, I don't know. I don't know. But that's always curious to me if teams kind of pony up when a guy could have or would have outside of extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, that's a great betting tip for player props going into week 18 to look up incentives.
Oh, yeah. For
say,
sure.
Hey,
if they're readily available,
yeah,
if you could find them.
Yeah.
Certainly. Absolutely.
I actually heard Nick Costos on his show doing that a little bit last week. He was leading up to it.
Yeah, so, man, Brady. If it doesn't jeopardize what you're doing in trying to, you know, like the Hines Ward. Remember the Hines Ward stuff?
Oh, 3 straight catch passes behind them. He would have fit right in here.
Jimbo firing darts.
There you go, Canada.
Efforting Dan and Hughes, Chiefs Radio, is supposed to join us at this time. I'm telling you, people struggle with that time change. Some people honestly think Pittsburgh is in the Central Time Zone. I can promise you.
Really?
Funny you say that because I just looked back at the text from yesterday and made sure it said EST on there.
Yeah, it's what you gotta do.
I promise you, that has happened a bunch. We've talked to people from like Dallas and people from Chicago and in the middle of the country, kind of. They a lot of times think Pittsburgh is linked up.
Really?
I swear, doing this, that has happened a bunch.
It's crazy.
Or people have called. You know, it happens a lot if it is the, like, you know, 8 o'clock. He'll call it like 9:30.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it is what it is. But, yeah. Jim, how you doing? Everything good?
I'm doing fine. I'm in the Eastern time zone. Everything's great.
Certainly. The Steelers schedule next year, every game is in the Eastern time zone.
Big fan.
Absolutely big. They'll still find a way to play a bunch of 8:30 games at night.
Oh, absolutely.
But, big fan. Jim, we're going to get into this in the next hour. But I want your hard take on this before we dive back into it pretty heavy. People who say this is Mike Tomlin's best coaching job, you say what?
I'd have to think about it.
Can you put it amongst the top?
Well, we said the same thing a couple years ago, right?
The Duck year?
The Duck mm-hmm. Mason year. And, you know, that's when they brought Minka in. So that was, what, 3 seasons ago. I don't know. But there was stuff that, you know, the thing is, the reason I would tend to say no is because of how the same stuff keeps mm-hmm. happening over and over. Meaning the offense can't get anything. And whether you want to blame it on him or not, he's
responsible.
Yeah, I mean, he's ultimately responsible. And the offense just sucks at the beginning of games. And then the defense is so bad. And then we'll talk about it specifically with the Chiefs, is that they had the ball for like 25 minutes of the first half.
People who make the argument that it is will say this. One, they're 9-7-1, okay? They had a winning record. They went 9-7-1. Two, they went 4-0 against the two teams that were thought to be the best teams in the division going into the year,
right,
or that were going to cause a lot of havoc. They didn't lose to Baltimore and didn't lose to Cleveland. Ben isn't good, or his skills are deteriorating, I should say. That's unfair. Ben's good.
He threw some great passes when it was like 3rd and 4th and long.
But his skills are deteriorating, and he's playing behind an offensive line, which even through all of this got him sacked 38 times or something like that. They are not good. I can say that.
Sure.
And Tuitt, Juju, Dotson, Ebron, those guys were hurt for considerable time. And so he went into a season with different plans of what he thought his team would look like. And then he has Ingram walk off the field and say, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'm not even coming to practice, and made something out of that situation.
But does he bear any responsibility for that?
But he doesn't necessarily bear the responsibility, but he's left to deal with picking up the pieces from it as well. Again, this isn't my argument. I'm making the argument that people are making.
Some people would make the argument, I guess we'll start with the points that Jim made of, well, you know, the problems that have started, that were problems at the start of the year, have remained problems throughout the year. Perhaps the problem with Melvin Ingram was that the coach led him to believe he was going to play more or have a bigger role, even once both outside linebackers were healthy. And, you know, there's a whole litany of things. I think you can also ask, you know, how much of Mike Tomlin's response, how much of these fall on Mike Tomlin's shoulders is his responsibility.
I think he's done a hell of a job.
I think he's done a good job.
This is one of his top three coaching
jobs. I don't think he's been horrible by any stretch, but those are the two things that stuck out to me. Having said that, there was one point in the second half where they did do what we said they should have done more of, which is they handed the ball to Murray 3 straight times, and they didn't pick up a first down. And that was a big 3-and-out series for the Steelers in the second half of that game.
Well, and I look at it this way too, Colin. Like, I go by expectations. Preseason expectations, we all thought they were going to be right around a 500 team, right? And maybe get one of the final wild card spots. That's exactly what happened. So if you don't go blasting away expectations, then I guess I have a harder time saying that it's the best.
But we thought Juju would be employed the whole season. We thought Tuitt would play all year. We thought Alu-Alu would play all year. Like, I look at if they had all their top personnel, I think they'd have one more win. And then we're talking a 10-6-1 team.
Probably two, though.
Let's give them one win.
Well, mm-hmm. okay.
Let's turn that win, that tie, into a win.
Okay.
And make it, you know, 10-7.
Right.
That exceeds everyone's expectations going into the season, I think. I didn't hear one person say, oh, they're a 10-win team. Everybody said they're a 500 team.
8 or 9, yeah.
Well, what's going to happen is, let's just say as everybody expects, the Steelers lose and worse, get blown out again in Kansas City. It's just not competitive. And so then you're left with, oh, boy, we got the 20th draft pick, and it would have been better to rebuild.
But again, I think that, and I don't buy into that. I give me more football, give me more playoff games, win as much as you can. I'd rather have that than, oh, well, at least we lost a couple final games of Ben's career and got a better draft pick out of it. And the other part of it is, if they lose on Sunday, I don't care if they lose by 5 touchdowns. If they lose on Sunday, it falls right in line with what a lot of our preseason expectations were. Like we said, around 500, maybe a wild card game, they lose and they're out. Here's my bigger question. I know it's not likely. It's like a 3% chance probably. If they somehow pulled it off in Kansas City, that's where I turn on a dime and I say, yeah, you know what? I got to hand it to the guy.
Like, Ben shouldn't have come back, but I can't.
Now that he's here.
Well, here's – no, but Mike Tom – to me, that's not Mike Tom. It's the owner's time to step up and say, yes, the quarterback comes back, or no. If the owner is able to make contract decisions on people, like he is – we don't sign people, we don't – but, yes, the quarterback will give an extension X amount of years out. The owner is the guy in Art II who could say, yes, you get an RSVP, you're invited back, or you're not as the quarterback. Like, for me, the coach of the team coaches the team that's assembled by other people and is given to them. And that's how I judge Mike Tomlin.
Well, he has a lot to do with that, too, though, I think.
Well.
But I know what you're – no, I understand what you're saying.
I understand he does, but then why are there personnel guys? Why is there a general manager? Why? I think we've made – because a couple people have yacked into microphones in this town saying Mike Tomlin has – a bunch of power over personnel. Who really knows that? Who really knows that?
I mean, I just go based on the fact that he's worked with Kevin Colbert for 15 years and is pretty well respected
and
regarded within
that
building.
I'm not saying he doesn't, but do you think that Mike Tomlin sits and goes, we're drafting this guy in the third round over this guy in the third round? And he has ultimate power?
I don't know if he has ultimate power. I think,
then why is there a general manager?
Because the general manager and the head coach in a lot of instances work together on things. And there are going to be instances where a head coach says to the GM, listen, I feel really strongly about this. I'd really like to have this guy. If you're a guy who's been coaching and been as successful as Mike Tomlin has, and if you're Kevin Colbert and you have the relationship with the head coach, then you go, okay, let's go with that guy then, Mike. Okay, I got no problem with that.
Like, I'm as critical of Mike Tomlin as anyone, but I do think that there are things that are assumed within his role that are unfair to him in terms of player personnel.
Well, but can't we also then give him credit for the personnel wins? If we believe that he's got – and
sure,
I have a hard time believing he doesn't.
And conversely, that's where – I don't think he had anything to say about, hey, please go get Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, I think that was the front office people who said, this is an identifiable talent we need to go find to infuse in our football team and help them out. I don't think Mike Tomlin sat there on a Tuesday or Wednesday night and was like – texting Brandon Hunt and texting Kevin Colbert, I saw Minka Fitzpatrick's tape. Go get him to help my football team.
No, but you know what that is, though? That's one where Kevin and his group, they say, holy crap, Minka's available.
Remember Mike, what Mike thought of Minka in the pre-draft?
Yeah. And it's a lot more groupthink than that.
That's my point, I guess. And I think in a lot of instances, maybe the head coach doesn't hold as much sway within that groupthink. When you're Mike Tomlin, like I said, 15-year veteran, no losing seasons. I know that's trite, but nonetheless, it is what it is. A Super Bowl ring to your credit, and everybody in the building's been together for as long as they have. I think he holds a lot more sway over the process.
I just have to take it face value that when they say it's a cooperative effort, And that all input is equal, I'm not sure that it is. I don't know who breaks the ties, but somehow they managed to do it. You know, have done it fairly well.
I guess
over
my
years.
Big point is, if people didn't want the quarterback to come back, the guy who broke the tie has two Roman numerals after his name, and he's the guy that should have broke that tie.
I mean, he's the
I can't put it
club.
On Mike Tomlin that the quarterback came back. I put it on Art.
Well, Art ultimately made the call. I mean, if Mike Tomlin wanted the quarterback back, hey, that's his opinion.
But he's also Mike Tomlin's boss.
Yeah.
You know? Again, that's just my point of view. Like, he could have said, you want the quarterback back? That's great. I'm your boss. I say no. We're going in a different – considering he had no problem saying there needs to be more of a push to run the football this year. Art had no problem saying that publicly. None at all.
Well, he was used to saying it over the last couple of years.
Right.
He got used to it.
Shelby Cassesi, our favorite. Shelby, you look so warm today.
Warm, I'm freezing. Yeah, I just had to take my jacket off to come in.
You have
here.
Like this cashmere sweater on and all crunchy suburban lady.
I could
lady.
Sit in a...
crunchy... Wait. Suburban lady.
Like, you look like you walked off the cover of a J. Crew magazine today.
So crunchy's a compliment?
Yes.
Okay. I was associating that with, like, crusty.
No.
Gross.
No.
I was going to say, that sounds like my wife when she comes home from, like, a night out with her friends and they went to a winery or something.
No,
That's crunchy suburban lady.
You look like you walked off, like, an L.L. Bean catalog or a J. Crew catalog.
Talbots.
Something like that. Talbots. Yes, sophisticated.
Suburban lady is what I'm destined for.
You're destined for that. All right, you got a good story this week, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting name on the young lady.
Well, yes, and I feel that she probably hears a lot about her name, which is a beautiful name. But This is about Adriana Grande,
mm-hmm.
and she is a Baldwin soccer player, a great one at that. But we could talk all day, every day, about all that she's accomplished off the soccer field, and that's what we're talking about today.
And we're going to hear the story right here.
Sharing the stories of remarkable young people in Western Pennsylvania, this is This Hits Different on 93.7 The Fan.
For Baldwin Jr. Adriana Grande, inclusivity is the name of the game. No one knows that better than her coach, Christine Chiodo.
She's just so consistently aware of everybody else's feelings and emotions, and people feel safe coming to her, and she makes sure she goes out of her way for, you know, people that kind of like the spotlight, but also people that don't like the spotlight.
Adriana is a goalkeeper on the Fighting Highlanders soccer team and plays club ball for Pittsburgh Football Club. And while she makes plenty of stops on the field, it was watching her mom help underprivileged kids as an inner city teacher that has led her to want to make more meaningful saves off the field.
There was a kid my mom used to teach, and he barely had enough clothes to go to school with. He just had his uniform, and my mom would go out and buy clothes for him, socks for him. After that, I was like, I want to be just like my mom being a teacher. I want to be there for students, and I want to make sure I have meaning to help other kids.
That's why Adriana is part of Friendship Circle, a local organization that strives to bring people from various walks of life together by using classes and outings. It's all in the hopes of allowing those who may be struggling with isolation, addiction, and other family-related crises to have a safe place.
We aim to enrich the lives of all participants through mutually adventurous interactions, creating lasting friendships. That's our main message, is creating friendships.
Adriana has plenty of accomplishments on the field, which have earned looks from college coaches. But it doesn't stop there. Far from it. She also maintains a 4.0 GPA in the classroom and is an executive board member of Baldwin's Minithon, which raises money for pediatric cancer. She's on the Pittsburgh Football Club's leadership committee and earned the 2021 Donald Klein Friendship Award from Friendship Circle. A very impressive and overwhelming list of accomplishments for anyone, let alone a high school student.
COVID's kind of put people back in a corner or in a closet or whatever they are, but I think she's excelled so much over the last couple of years.
And now, as a listen-to, young voice in the Baldwin community, Adriana hopes to get others involved in her charitable efforts, no matter the age.
Definitely start off small. I would look up on the internet anywhere around you where you can help out, like a local food bank, or even these organizations like Friendship Circle.
And it should come as no surprise that Adriana's post-college plans involve helping others. She plans to follow in her mom's footsteps and become a teacher of underprivileged children.
I'm proud of all of my young athletes, and we preach, you know, inclusion all the time. And it's one thing to say it and one thing to be a part of a team that does it, but then to go out and also do it on your own individually, it's something special. Like, I get goosebumps talking about it.
Another great story. Great, great stuff.
Awesome.
Shelby, we appreciate it,
yeah,
as always.
Course.
There's,
yeah,
good Baldwin kids out there.
Yeah, and you know, I have a couple of friends who are teachers right now, and it's never an easy job, but right now especially, it's on another level. And
yeah.
For someone, a young lady like Adriana, to kind of still see that, see the really bad downsides of teaching, like teaching through a pandemic right now, and still want to do it wholeheartedly, that's incredible for
good
her.
Good kid.
And Shelby, brought to you, by the way, her feature, This Hits Different, brought to you by Ensco Long Insurance Group, working harder for you. All right, playoff time, Shelby. Now, tell me what your, because I've been wanting to ask you this question for the past couple days in anticipation of you coming in. Are you a bunker down football NFL playoff person? Are you just catch the games that aren't the Steeler games and passing, whatever? Or like, are you go to the store and buy a bunch of food and kind of camp out and watch all the games? What is your plan this weekend?
It's going to be hunker down.
Yeah.
I'm a hunker down,
yeah,
playoff person, especially if the Steelers are playing.
Right.
It's difficult to be in a social setting when the Steelers are playing.
Well, yeah, like I got an invite, our family got an invite to our friend's house where we've gone to watch Steeler games,
yeah,
before, and I'm like, eh. It's Sunday night, A.
Yeah.
Right.
For you guys,
right,
that had to have been a dagger to see
but
that,
like,
game time.
B, it's a playoff game, and I want to kind of pay attention.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a, you know, either way, don't really care who wins type of deal, then yeah, social setting for sure. But
like the San Francisco game,
this or when the Super Bowl gets down to, you know, when you don't really care who wins or anything like that.
It's more about the halftime show, the commercials,
and the pretzel bites and the nachos.
There we go, pretzel bites and nachos,
buffalo chicken dip.
Yes.
Oh, buffalo chicken dip. I'm already tasting it for the Super Bowl now.
So you refused.
Linda makes a good one.
You refused.
I bet she does.
Last week, someone said you guys have to switch seats, you and Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Because they wanted to be able to see you rather than just have the disembodied voice of Shelby Cassese on the video stream. Mm-hmm. Jim offered and you refused.
I'm not going to impede.
Unseat the king?
Unseat
a legend. Right. Yeah. Okay, I'm with
you. That's unacceptable.
Well, that's
thoroughly
right.
But he did offer very kindly. But, I mean, Jim and I have known each other for a long time now. I would never take such steps.
Question here. To lie to your kids? We want this from someone who doesn't have kids and someone who is a little bit younger than us and someone who maybe in the future could have children. Yeah. I don't know. So Chris has a thought, and we were talking about this. Like
a lot of parenting tips happening this morning on the Fan Morning Show.
My example is this. My son, he had gas in driving home from school, right?
Yeah.
And he's sitting in the passenger seat. And I told him, because I just didn't want him to do it in the car anymore. He just did once, right? And it's the three of us, him and my daughters in the back seat. And I said, listen, if you do that again, because the heated seat is on, it could cause an explosion underneath your butt. Don't
did he believe
do that.
You?
He gave me yes. He did. He believed me. He's 10. I'm like, I know he's smart. He should be smarter than this. I mean, can't you see that this is a lie? But he believed me. So is it okay and acceptable as somebody giving tips to parents who isn't a parent?
Yeah.
To lie to your children
totally
to get
totally in a position to be giving parenting advice. Yeah. But
to lie to your children to kind of get what you want.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
I very much so intend to do that if I ever have kids.
Okay.
Especially, there are some, when they're young enough, I feel like, and there are just some battles out there that you're not winning, that you need to just throw a lie out there to get the shit ball rolling.
So should I cook up a lie for my son to not wear his Patrick Mahomes jersey to school this week?
Yes.
What kind of
school
lie
doesn't
are you
allow
trying to cook
other
up?
Teams?
Are
you live in Pittsburgh. School doesn't allow.
Are you
you'll get
of,
suspended.
Like, the blowback that you
oh,
get?
I don't care. If he wants to wear his Patrick Mahomes jersey, he can wear. His
you
his
know
Patrick
what
Mahomes
my
jersey.
Play would be? You're allowed to wear that jersey, but you know if you make it to school, they make you write Kansas City Chiefs 5,000 times on the chalkboard.
That's a good idea.
And just see his reaction.
Okay, I'll
and
report
if how,
back
how
in the morning.
How you know just how much he's dedicated to wearing that.
Well, and
if he's and then he gets to school and it's a surprise, he doesn't have to do that.
I know his principal pretty well. I could probably work something out to sort of scare the bejesus out of him in school if
Why
he wears
is he
it
a
one
Patrick
day.
Mahomes fan?
He got Madden a couple months ago, plays with the Chiefs, loves Patrick Mahomes. All the little kids in the neighborhood do. He's 8. He's just getting into the NFL. He's excited. He loves the fact that the Steelers made the playoffs. Mm. But when I told him that they're playing the Chiefs, he looked at me and I said, who are you going to root for? He said, Patty Mahomes.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So
Sunday night should be interesting.
I would tell him that. I'd say school allows you to wear other teams' jerseys. But if you do and it's not a Pittsburgh team, you got to write the name of the team 1,000 times. Yeah, 1,000 times on the
chalkboard. Listen to this. So my husband's family is from the Green Tree area / the Moon area. Uh-huh. Him and his brother grew up here. My husband, a New England Patriots fan.
Oh, my God.
His brother, my brother-in-law, a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Oh,
I'm not really sure what happened with the parenting.
I'm not sure what happened
with
marrying into that.
I have to look at my in-law. Okay, I should qualify. My husband is more of a Tampa Bay Bucks fan these days than a New England Patriots fan.
Oh, so he's a Brady fan.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Same way that he's a Mahomes
fan. But for a long, long time, it was New England. And I just don't know how you grow up in Pittsburgh and you raise two boys and one's
a Patriots
fan.
I bet he likes Duke basketball, too, and Notre Dame when they're
good. The Yankees.
I mean, you married this front runner. Let's just get right to it.
He just likes the intensity. I can't argue with it. How do you argue with it at this point?
I mean, well, he's from here.
Yeah. But I just don't understand. I understand what you're going through because I also don't want my husband wearing Tom Brady jersey.
The difference
around
is my son's him. 8 years old.
Yes, exactly.
But, I mean, you hold a little bit more power over. Tell him you're getting divorced.
I feel like that's probably a stretch.
You've been served. You ever hear of Joe Cordell?
The lawyer?
Yeah. Tell him. Threaten him with Joe Cordell.
He doesn't practice
he's on
in
the
Pennsylvania.
Other side, though.
But.
Oh, yeah, he is on the other side of it.
He's on the guy's side.
He's
on
right.
When you are threatened with divorce?
When you're a man,
no,
yeah.
He
represents
he's a male
men.
Divorce attorney?
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yes. But he might swing you a favor. He advertises on our station. Yes, sure. Just tell him, hey, pal, this ain't working.
He's
no
not
more
licensed
Brady
in Pennsylvania,
stuff.
Though. Don't worry about it.
I
he has plenty of associates that are.
I bought him 2 Brady jerseys now.
You bought him... What?
Yeah, I bought him two Brady jerseys at this. We've been together 8 years. They're just really, you just lean into it.
Well, then, okay, whatever. You're complicit in all of this.
Sure.
Then don't complain.
I just don't. I mean, I came on halfway there. I came into the relationship. He was already a Brady fan, so
he loves Brady more than he loves you.
I also bought him a Steelers shirt.
Okay,
this
okay.
is a total unmitigated disaster.
Does he wear the Steelers stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And cheers for them. Wants them to win. He's sort of half and half. But
what did he do last week? Who did he cheer for?
Steelers.
Who did your brother-in-law cheer for?
Probably the Ravens. he's like a through and through
your
Ravens
husband
guy.
If the Steelers play the Pats, let's say it somehow works out that way in the playoffs, mm-hmm. so a million different things
he'll
happen.
Sort of be happy either way, but prefers the Steelers to win.
Okay, that's fair then.
Okay, thanks. Great day today, Shelby.
Thank you, Colin.
That was wonderful.
That certainly hit different.
Okay.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.